Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I'm so glad that you chose to join us today as we begin programs for the month of August. And on this first weekend of the month of August, I am in camp meeting in Portage, Ohio, finishing out the camp meeting this weekend. And I do hope that you will remember to pray for us. And if you live in the Fostoria, Bowling Green, Portage, Ohio area, listen to us on WBVI. You still have opportunity to come to the camp meeting today on this final Sunday of the camp meeting. And then, following this camp meeting, we will travel to Lisbon, Ohio, at the Church of the Nazarene, August 13 to 16, and then August 27 to 30, finishing out the month of August at Dilwyn, Virginia, at Enon Baptist Church. So do cover your prayers as I'm traveling to these meetings, and it will mean so much to me. Also, I hope you'll pray about being a supporter of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. If you haven't sent us a note or a gift, we are listener-supported, faith-based, always have been, and we stay on the radio because of your faithfulness. So you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can click on the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab and give electronically. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience today. Thank you for the way you've been blessing throughout the summer months as we have been involved in camp meetings and speaking engagements. And I thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness, for the anointing, for people who pray for us. I also pray, Father, for those who are not well physically. And I know we have some of our faithful supporters who are battling various physical concerns. And I lift them to you collectively today and ask that you would be with them. Thank you for the radio stations who continue to air the program. I'm reminded of some of the stations. We've been on those particular stations for 50 years, and what a joy it has been to be able to broadcast the gospel through those secular radio stations, as well as Christian stations. Thank you, Father. Now bless the remaining part of the program, I pray. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On the program today and next week, I'm going to be preaching a sermon that I preached at Sharon Holiness Camp Meeting in the month of June. I hope you enjoy it.
Many times in my childhood we'd travel so far. By nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me and gently he'd say, "My child, we're going home. Going home, I'm going home. There's nothing to hold. There.
While the scripture says in John chapter 16, verse 13, the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own, only what he hears. He is the executor of all things spiritual. Let me repeat that for your consideration. He is the executor of all things spiritual. If you're here tonight and you're saved, it's because of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. He convicted you, brought you to that place of realization that you needed to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If you're sanctified tonight, it is because of the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. He came and revealed to you that not only did he want to relieve you of the guilt of sin, but he also wanted to take away the power of sin in your life. If you're here tonight and you experience temptation, which we all do, it is the Holy Spirit who checks, helping us to be overcomers as we walk and live the Christian experience. When you read your Bible, it is the Holy Spirit who takes the Word of God and illuminates it to your own thinking so that you can understand what it's saying to you. It is the Holy Spirit who provides guidance and wisdom so that we might witness of this great gospel that's been presented to us, to other people. We can share Jesus Christ with them. Without, and I say it very dogmatically tonight, without the work of the Holy Spirit, Christianity would be nothing more than another lifeless religion. With that in mind, I want us to go on an express trip through the early days of the first century church. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We've heard it quoted already this week, but let's look at it again. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you, speaking of the disciples and the apostles, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they, the 120, in the upper room were all together in one place. Verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers. Notice the language. They prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They'd simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Cornelius was a Roman centurion of the Italian regiment in Caesarea who was a devout and God-fearing man. He sent for Peter, and Peter came to his household. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Acts chapter 15, verse 7. This is at the Jerusalem council, and Peter is giving a report. Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Every one of those passages of Scripture have a common denominator. The Holy Spirit was given on believers. An evangelist friend of mine was preaching a camp meeting in the state of Georgia some years ago. He decided to just take a stroll around the campground. He invited his young daughter, Emily, who was 4 years old, to go with him. And she, in turn, looked at her father and said, "Can I invite my cousin Fred to go along with us?" Fred was also 4 years old. They began that stroll around that Methodist campground. And as they turned a corner and came around the edge of a building, they came face to face with a life-size statue of John Wesley dressed in his Geneva robe. Little Fred was taken aback. And he said, "Who on earth is that?" Little Emily, 4 years old, said, "Don't you know who that is? That's the shadow of God." That's the shadow of God. And those of us who are of the Wesleyan persuasion, we know that John Wesley cast an incredible shadow across the religious landscape of his day. And when you go to the Word of God, you will discover that something similar happened in the life of one of the apostles. You read it in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Now, here's my proposition for this congregation for my final time with you at Sharon Camp. Everyone cast a shadow. You will cast some kind of shadow. We can either cast the shadow of spiritual empowerment and anointing, or the shadow of a life spiritually that has no power, simply operating in our own strength. Wouldn't it be something if we were so anointed, so empowered by the Holy Spirit, so filled with His presence, that when we walked into a room, into a church, into a home, into a business establishment, into a classroom at school, that we were so filled with the Holy Spirit, it was as though Jesus Christ Himself walked into that location? Well, believe it or not, that's the way it's supposed to be for the child of God. His presence is supposed to be seen and felt because we've allowed the Holy Spirit to come and indwell us. You never met my mom. Well, I take that back. Some of you here tonight did meet my mother. And if you remember my mother, she's been with Jesus now for 23 years. But my mother cast an incredible shadow. She impacted the lives of so many people in her own shy, behind-the-scenes sort of way. I'll never forget the last Crabtree reunion that I attended. My mother, her maiden name was Crabtree. And we attended the Crabtree reunion. Gathered there were probably 75 people, all related one way or another into the Crabtree family. And I don't know if my mother sensed something. Maybe she thought this might be the last time I will ever have opportunity to talk to my brothers and my sister and their families. And I remember my mother, after we had all partaken of that wonderful meal that we had brought and put together, my mother stood, I have a picture of it, and she began to speak. And I have that picture of her raising her hand like that. And everybody is looking at my mom. There is quietness in that fellowship hall as my mom spoke. And she spoke with an anointing, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And she began to deliver her heart to her loved ones, admonishing them, don't wait until it's too late. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And we sat there in awe and amazement as my mother cast an incredible shadow over that gathering there on that Sunday afternoon. This little 98-pound, ninth-grade educated, never drove a car mother of mine had such an influence on me that I never wanted to disappoint her. I always knew that if I really get right with God, I want the kind of relationship with God that my mother has. She cast an incredible shadow on our lives. I believe that the corporate cry of our generation in the 21st century church is something like this. We've listened to what you had to say. We've watched your programs operate. We've seen how you go to church. We know what you believe. We know about your programs. But now we would like to see a genuine genuine demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We've watched you rattle the sword of Christian jihad. Now we would like to see the Holy Spirit begin to operate in and out of your lives. Listen, folks, we're going to cast the shadow. When you leave this place and you go out there, you will cast the shadow for Jesus Christ one way or another. And I repeat, it will either be the shadow of a powerless life and church, or it will be the shadow of spiritual empowerment and anointing. By revisiting the first century church, we can see what casting a spiritual shadow will involve. And first of all, I would tell you that the power of the Holy Spirit will need to be experienced personally. That same power that filled the disciples and the apostles in that upper room on the day of Pentecost, that gave birth to the church of which you and I are a part, is available to all of us here in this place tonight. And many of us have experienced that, and we know the reality of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And just before ascending back to the Father, Jesus gives one final command. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with the disciples, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read it earlier. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. A dear friend of mine, a mentor of mine, we communicate often. He's a church leader. As a matter of fact, he is an expert in church leadership. He has been president of two universities, Oral Roberts University and Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. He took a church in Orlando, Florida, that the banks were about to foreclose on because of the moral failures within the leadership of that congregation. And he led that church back to what it is today, a healthy, thriving church in downtown Orlando, Florida. Very trained in how to teach and lead leaders in operating in the church. And one day he told the story that he was invited by a particular congregation to come to their church because the church, quite frankly, was on the ropes. It was about to implode. Things were going badly for that congregation. So they hired my friend to come and meet with the leaders. And he said, as he told the story, that he sat there and spent an entire day with the leadership of that church trying to help them determine, discern what was wrong in the church so that they could right the ship and get on being the kind of church that God would have it to be. He said, but everything I put on the table, everything that I offered them, every suggestion that I gave to them, they rejected everything I had. He said, at the end of the day, he said, I looked at them and I said, well, that's it. That's all I've got. I brought everything to you today that I know how to bring to you so that you might do what you need to do as a church. He said, I just felt like I wanted to slap every one of them. They just wouldn't pay attention. He said, then, at the end of the day, there was an old farmer who hadn't said a word all day, sitting in a chair, leaned up against the back wall of the room where they were meeting. He had a pair of bib overalls, a flannel shirt, and a pair of brogan shoes. And he said, that old man spoke up, and he says, here's what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to dynamite the whole thing. Just dynamite the whole thing. I don't think he realized what he was saying. He was giving a subtitle to the book of Acts. Because when Jesus Christ made the statement, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he used in the Greek language the word dynamos, which is the word from which we get our word dynamite. And I believe tonight, my friend, in some cases, maybe not every church, and in some lives, and maybe not every life, we need to allow the dynamite of the Holy Spirit to come and blow out of the way what is hindering the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives personally and in the life of the church corporately. Because you see, over time, debris and attitudes, time, life, history, we've always done it this way mindset, have a way of blocking mentally and spiritually the flow of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to offend anybody tonight, but I think sometimes we allow ourselves to become spiritually constipated, and we need to have something that can blow out of the way what is hindering the flow of the Holy Spirit. And hear it tonight, folks. I'm here to declare to you, give you a clarion call. The world of which you and I are a part will not sit still for some kind of petty, clutching, digging your heels attitude that's been in place in some churches over 30 and 40 and 50 years.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Faustoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.